From WNYC in New York, this is NPR's On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. This week, the White House focused on pitching its new plan for economic recovery. Last time they tried this hard was in early February, when Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner unveiled the administration's proposal for dealing with the toxic assets plaguing financial institutions. His performance was not electrifying.
A new funding mechanism that uses capital from the Treasury as a bridge to private capital.
Both the plan, which lacked specifics, and Geithner, who lacked vim, were given two thumbs down by the media and the stock market, which tanked.
Possible in the absence of government support.
So this week, the White House went a different route. Geithner explained his plan to reporters in a pen and pad chat, no TV cameras allowed. CNN's Jessica Yellen was there, and she said it was probably for the best.
He is not a person who exudes confidence. He looks like an overgrown prep school student who's coming before the administration board because they broke the honor code.
Oh,
he sort of
goodness.
Sits there kind of cowering back.
Yeah.
It's just his style.
Keeping Geithner off camera may have helped. The Dow shot up almost 7%. But still, the cameras were waiting, and someone who does exude confidence had to pitch the plan to the American people. Enter the president, pitching on The Tonight Show at the end of last week, 60 Minutes over the weekend, a primetime press conference on Tuesday, a digital town hall. Peter Nicholas, political reporter for the LA Times and Chicago Tribune, has been tracking the administration's efforts to sell its economic plan. Peter, welcome to the show.
Nice to be with you.
So travel back with me in time. Under the Bush administration, if there was a concept or a policy idea or anything else to float, you'd hear it from the president, you'd hear it from the vice president, you'd hear it from the spokesman at the podium, you'd hear it on Fox News. We haven't seen that phenomenon so much in the Obama administration.
I think that's correct. They've been hard-pressed to find a person with the credibility and gravitas and stature to really talk about the economy in a convincing way. In that vacuum, Barack Obama has essentially been carrying the whole load himself.
Now, we have a president who, at least so far, has an extraordinary amount of political capital. Shouldn't he be able to have his way with Congress? I mean, how important is selling the plan?
Well, I think that selling the plan has become hugely important. He has to convince not only that narrow audience in Congress, but also the broader public in hopes that the public will ratchet up the pressure on Congress to support his agenda. We saw FDR do this way back in 1933 when he did fireside chats where he reassured people that the banks were going to be solvent. We're seeing the Obama administration feel its way in that regard and doesn't seem to be in the place it wants to be as yet.
You know, I don't even know who FDR's Treasury Secretary was. Where does Tim Geithner fit in the, you know, the history of Treasury Secretaries? I know Robert Rubin was front and center in the Clinton administration.
Rubin, to some degree, was the standard for what a Treasury Secretary should be. One can disagree with his policies, but he was able to reassure Wall Street. He could communicate to the broader public. To some degree, Tim Geithner and contemporary Treasury Secretaries will be judged against the high standard that Rubin set. To this point, it doesn't seem that Geithner has cleared that high bar. In fairness to Geithner, people close to him say, well, look, it's unfair to expect him to both solve the economic crisis and also be the chief spokesman. He just has too much to do. But there are veterans of past administrations and economic experts as well who believe the Treasury Secretary, the chief economic advisor, Larry Summers, the head of the National Economic Council, Christina Romer, also have an important role to play. And to this day, they're still trying to cast about, reach deeper and deeper into the bench to find a spokesman who can inspire people. And last Sunday, they had Jared Bernstein, Vice President Biden's economic advisor, out on the Sunday talk shows for the first time.
Yeah, that's pretty far down the bench for sure. But tell me about the starters. There were some specific gaffes by prominent members of the president's economic team. Can you describe them?
Yes, that's correct. Christina Romer was on a Sunday talk show recently, and she was asked what would seem to be a simple question.
Are the fundamentals of this economy sound?
Well, of course the fundamentals are sound in the sense that the American workers are sound. We have a good capital stock. We have good technology. We know that temporarily we're in a mess.
Now, that's actually a politically freighted question. During the campaign, John McCain was asked that question back in September, and he said, yes, the fundamentals of the economy are strong. He was widely criticized for that, most vociferously by the Obama team. Another gaffe was when Larry Summers talked about the AIG bonuses and said, well, yes, it's an outrage, and yes, it's wrong, but...
We are a country of law. There are contracts. The government cannot just abrogate contracts.
And that was at odds with what Barack Obama said the very next day when he went out and in a public appearance said, we're going to do everything we can and we're going to use all the leverage at our disposal to try to roll back these bonuses. I think what we're seeing is Obama has chosen an economic team for its technical expertise, but not necessarily for its communicative powers. And the limitations of that strategy are now becoming clear.
I want to end this by coming back to where we started on the subject of message discipline. When New York Times columnist and Nobel laureate Paul Krugman came out against aspects of the administration's plans, there was this moment, for me at least, of cognitive dissonance. I mean, I guess I can't shake the 8 years of the Bush administration when whatever policy announced by the White House that day was sure to show up along the whole length and breadth of the vast right-wing conspiracy. What's happened to the vast left-wing conspiracy? Should I have been surprised that Paul Krugman left the reservation?
I don't think so. First of all, Paul Krugman, if you remember, was critical of Barack Obama during the campaign and was much more aligned with Hillary Clinton. But I spoke to Senator Evan Bayh about some of this yesterday, actually, in an interview, and he was saying Democrats are pretty good at creating circular firing squads. There's less message discipline.
Peter, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob. Great to be with you.
Peter Nicholas covers politics for the Chicago Tribune and the LA Times.